Welcome to chapel. Appreciate everybody who has come our way in the chapel meeting. Our chapels are a little bit different than the classrooms, and we just pick topics of discussion that's happened in the class, and then we all get together and decide which one of the topics we need to discuss generally to the whole school. And that's how we get our chapel messages. We just don't pick them out of thin air or something. And they're matters of prayer. So today we are looking at wanting God as the title of today's chapel message. Wanting God is the same thing as wanting salvation, wanting assurance of one's salvation, wanting fellowship with God. So it's an important topic, and I think this is a worthwhile topic for our chapel sessions. Today, the topic is going to be based on Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, just the latter part of it, which says, quote, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force," end quote. Let's begin this chapel with a word of prayer. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee looking to Thee for assurance. We come to Thee looking for our blessings today from Thy word. We ask that You'll open our hearts and minds to be attentive and to be receptive to what You have for us. We pray that You'll just bless us at this time, and if there is any error or mistake said, may it not be carried out in the hearts and in action. We just ask Your guidance and direction and Your blessing, for it is in Christ's name we pray these things with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, the Sadducees and Pharisees during Christ's earthly ministry hoped for a messianic kingdom here on earth. The truth of the matter is God's kingdom has always been a spiritual kingdom. It is not force that will bring it about. Only human kingdoms can be set up by force. The only thing force will ultimately bring about is a corrupt one world, new order of government ruled by cruel dictators who feign humanitarianism. A false messiah will be one who establishes his position through military conquest and political power. A false messiah would establish his counterfeit kingdom through might. Israel today rejects Christ. Along with him, they reject Christianity. Now, the real Israel of God is that which the Apostle Paul speaks about in the book of Romans. The real Israel is made up of those who have faith in Christ as their Redeemer. They belong to God's kingdom as one body of born-again citizens who are joint heirs with the King of the spiritual kingdom. Those who are truly born again do indeed take the kingdom by force, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit opens wide the gates of heaven by His power. Otherwise, those gates remain closed to all the wicked ones. Those who are born again, though inhibited by the devil's obstacles through trickery and enticements of the world, gain entrance into glory only by the power of God's grace. The violence and bloodshed done to Christ on the cross guaranteed the way for us to be clear and free. We are to freely have fellowship with God. As a consequence of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, a real new convert will be moved to be more than ready to rid his or her soul of the heavy burden of sin and rush to the cross for mercy. There is no maybe, no I'll think about it, or when I get around to it. With true conversion and true salvation, the urgency to truly come to Christ is very strong and not to be ignored, if it can be. So yes, the truly saved do take the kingdom by violence, a violence that made Christ to be described by Isaiah as, quote, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, end quote. We who are joined to Christ through the redemption are partakers of this violence. We must be the sons of thunder in regard to the gospel. We are not ashamed of the gospel of grace. By its very nature, it needs to be proclaimed. It is our freedom, joy, and life, even though living as a Christian isn't always a bed of roses with health and wealth, as some pretend. There often is persecution, oppression, and hatred thrown at us much of the way. We are nevertheless more than conquerors in Christ, who strengthens us each step of the way. The Christian life is much like being out of in the ocean. For those of you who have had the privilege of going to the ocean and being on the shore, the Christian life is much like being out in the ocean, just off the shore, wading in the water, walking in the shallow water as the tide is going out. As a person walks toward the shore, there is an opposing current pushing and hindering your progress. Unless you fight and overcome the current, you will be swept out into the ocean and quite possibly drown. The further out in the water you are, the deeper and stronger it is. Now, this is what the devil would have for us. In this illustration, the world is the water and the current is the enticements and the power of this world to draw us out and drown us if it could. But thanks be to God, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Those who are fickle in their faith, one day taking a stand, the next compromising and yielding, are in danger of being swept away and perhaps drowned in this world of woe. One minute they are going to shore, and the next, they're going with the tide. The Old Testament character of Reuben is an example of this, of being fickle. He was firstborn, entitled to a double portion of the inherited blessings. Yet, because he chose the path of sin, he gave it all away. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, where all the tribes of Israel are listed, he is left out. He sacrificed the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Not a wise decision. In contrast to fickle Reuben, Christians are to walk consistently and wisely in this world, circumspectly, that is, looking about all around and judging spiritually with God's word. Let it be known that without patience, consistency, and faith, it is impossible, yes, underline that if you're taking notes, it is impossible to have real victory. It is impossible to have real victory without patience, consistency, and faith. As true sons of thunder, we are to be sharing the glorious gospel as well as standing up for righteousness. That's important, taking a stand. We are not to be guilty of connivance. Connivance is defined as the, quote, advocacy of or passive consent. Passive consent of wrongdoing. Sadly, there are many Christians, I'm afraid, who are guilty of connivance. We are to be proactive in our dealings with sin as well as crime. We're not to look the other way. We're not to kindly tolerate corrupt judges or ignore consistently overly lenient punishments that don't match the crime. Looking the other way and letting things go down the merry old sewer drain makes us inadvertent participants of corruption. Where's the church's stand on corruption? Not just individual, but statewide political corruption. Let it be known. We are not to stay silent. We are to be the salt of the earth. A corrupt justice system punishes the innocent more than the guilty. I've seen people who were victims of crimes. I've seen this in the news. They were victims of crimes, and they are the ones that end up in jail, the victim. Okay, the devil's lies and schemes of worldwide deception, blanketing the earth with darkness. We are to thunder the truth. It shines light in a very dark world. As the saying goes, the darker the night, the brighter the light. That is true. So truth is one of the shining jewels of our crown of glory. Truth distinguishes us from the false church. That's important. Truth distinguishes us from the false church. It is our strength and forte. If we are to abandon the truth, if we were ever to abandon the truth, then we may as well hang the epitaph over the church doors that reads, Ichabod, the glory has departed from you. The Apostle Jude calls us to contend for the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints. The meaning there is that we are to stand and struggle for biblical truth to the point of agony. We are not to alter it. The faith was delivered once and for all, and that means it's not to be changed. We are not to alter it in any way, as Paul points out in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Quote, I marvel that ye are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel that unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. End quote. No one should ever propose a new additional corrective gospel that is supposedly delivered by an angel, especially after what we just read from Paul's, you know, his stern warning that we just read in Galatians. there's no excuse for any additional corrective books, because there are no errors in the Bible to correct. A corrective edition is not ever necessary. Additionally to that, no one should ever present a different or another gospel, as Paul so warned, by pretending to receive another gospel from an unbiblical angel who presents this gospel to a Gentile here in America. No Old Testament or New Testament scripture was ever delivered to a non-Jew by an unknown angel, and get this, on golden plates. All historical, biblical, archaeological discoveries find parchments and papyri. These are documents that were never done on gold tablets in unknown Egyptian hieroglyphics. No American Indian ever spoke Egyptian hieroglyphics. As with Hebrew and Greek, God used the language to whom the message was addressed. No one spoke Egyptian hieroglyphics in America. Sadly, both Judaism and Islam also fall into New Testament condemnation as being of Antichrist and should not be accepted or supported by true Bible believers. Now, we are not anti-Semitic. We love the sons of Abraham who believe in Christ. But Rabbinic Judaism falls into a condemnation, the same as or similar to that of Islam. Here's what 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says about that. Quote, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Messiah? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. End quote. Both modern Judaism and Islam deny that Jesus is the Messiah, being the Holy Son of God, the second divine member of the Trinity. Islam's claim that God has no son denies Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, or Psalm, the second Psalm, verse 7. It says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." The truth of much of the New Testament is completely denied when this doctrine is rejected. Judaism and Islam both reject and deny the doctrine of a divine Christ's crucifixion, Christ's substitutionary sacrifice, resurrection, and redemption. To be saved, in contrast to that, to be saved, one must abandon any false gospel, any false religion, abandon self-sufficiency and self-centeredness. Be anxious not to let anything get in your way to Christ and true salvation. Yes, the kingdom of heaven must be taken by violence, that is to say, act now. Get rid of and eliminate hindrances that come between you and God. Don't wait indefinitely with maybes. If you remember, the Holy Spirit says, today is the day of salvation. Simply repent of false beliefs and believe His word. Wanting God is wanting salvation. Salvation comes about by recognizing your need of God. We invite you to take that time now, and if not now, soon, today, to get down and humble yourself before the Lord and ask for forgiveness of your sin and ask Him to save you. And with that, we will close today's chapel message with a word of prayer, and after that, you are dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your salvation that is rich and free. It is by grace that we are saved. Through faith, we ask now that You give us the gift of faith and increase that faith in our lives, that we might draw ever closer to Thee. We ask now that You'll help us to look to Thee, knowing that our needs are all found in Thee. We pray now for the lost in our families, that You'll help us to be good witnesses of Thine, and we call upon the Holy Spirit to help us in that witness. Give us the right words, the Word of God, to say. Pray now that You'll go with us and we go with Thee as we seek to serve Thee throughout this week. And until we meet again, we pray these things with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.